Well, on a bright, sunny day like we have across a good part of Wisconsin, you know, it's kind of nice to think about maybe solar energy. If I had a solar installation on my roof, would I be able to heat my water or maybe heat the home? We'll talk about solar energy installations today with Jack Gutchenritter, who is with Wisconsin Solar Installations. Wisconsin Solar Installations, the name. He's a certified full-service installer of solar hot water systems on the Focus on Energy list. He's also an instructor on solar subjects for the Wisconsin Renewable Energy Association, MREA, as we like to call it. So I'm really pleased to have him with us today. And certainly, if you want to join in with some questions or comments, give us a call. The number 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And the first five people to call, we have a complimentary ticket for you for the MREA Energy Fair next June, June 18th through the 20th. So that's a little inducement, too. Call in with a question. And if you are planning to go in June to that MREA Energy Fair, we'll send you a ticket. So give us a call again, 1-800-642-1234, or email at talk@wpr.org. Jack Gutchenritter, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Well, hello, Larry. Thank you very much. Thank you for the nice introduction. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, Wisconsin Solar Installations is kind of trying to focus on simple, effective solutions for families and businesses that are concerned about climate change and maybe rising energy costs. Can you do that with solar energy?
You sure can. You sure can. There is roughly 2,000 BTUs per square foot that hit the surface of the earth per day during the summer, and about a quarter of that in the winter. And it's just a matter of harvesting those BTUs and put them into a form that you can use them. One of the easiest forms is to heat water, and it's the least expensive equipment. So heating water with sunlight is the first thing everybody should do.
Well, my wife's been after me to install a solar system on our roof for hot water, and we've been thinking very seriously about it. Is there a lot involved?
Well, one needs to be careful. If you more is not better when it comes to putting up solar panels, because it's a pretty powerful energy source. If you put up too many panels and you don't have use for the heat, you can't dissipate the heat in a swimming pool or something, you can damage the fluid that is flowing through your panels. In a cold climate like Wisconsin, we use a propylene glycol solution, which is an antifreeze. And if that antifreeze, the inhibitors can be ruined if the temperature in the panel gets too high.
Okay.
And then it turns acidic, and you can really do a lot of damage. So the system has to be right-sized. It's easy. We have good empirical data for various residential installations. For instance, a two-person household might only be able to use 32 square feet or 40 square feet of collector. A four-person household would be about double that. So you might see two collectors up on the roof of a four-person household.
So about a five feet by 6 feet roughly for a two-person household then?
The typical sizes are 4 feet wide.
Okay.
And either 8 feet long or 10 feet long.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
And go ahead. Were you adding some more, or should I take some calls?
Well, I was just going to say that I don't want to discourage the use of that extra energy. If you do put up an extra panel or two, if an ideal situation is where you have a swimming pool or something that you want to heat in the summertime, because the extra panels in the wintertime then could be put toward space heating.
Gotcha.
So that's sort of a nice seasonal offset. Summertime, you can use the heat for pools. Wintertime, you can use the heat for space heating. If you don't have a pool or someplace to put the heat in the summertime, then you should probably just stay with a solar system that is right-sized for your domestic water system.
Gene in Oshkosh has a question for you. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Larry and guest.
Hi, Gene.
I have a question about the orientation of the roof.
Sure.
We built this house in 1970 when we moved up here to the university, and we're on a channel off of Winnebago, and what I proposed to the DNR at that time was that I drill a well and use water to air a heat exchanger and pump the water back into the channel. DNR wouldn't buy that. I was somehow contaminating the water. But my house is a ranch, and at least two-thirds of the roof line runs north and south.
Okay.
You'd like to keep the panels from excessive visibility from the street, which would mean that I would be facing an eastern orientation.
Okay.
The panels would be mounted on the eastern side of the roof.
Okay.
There is one-third in the bedroom wing, and that orientation is an east-to-west orientation. But then again, you're facing visual observation from the road.
You're raising a bunch of interesting questions here. Jack, what do you think?
Well, first of all, solar panels are a thing of beauty, so you want to have them right out front where everybody can see them. Second thing is I'm not necessarily sure I followed everything, but if you have enough south-facing flat, a sloped roof that faces south, even if it's a dormer or something, if you can get one or two panels on there, that would work fine. If the ridge runs north and south, such that you basically have either a east-facing roof or a west-facing roof, you can put panels up and have them face south. And if it's two panels, it would look like the teeth on a saw. There is the possibility, though, that you'll get some shading from the roof itself. For instance, if you put it on, I think you were saying to keep it away from the street, you'd put it maybe on the east-facing roof. So when the sun is in the afternoon coming from the southwest, you may get some shading from the roof itself falling on the panel, which may not be ideal. You can also consider ground mounting if you don't have enough roof space facing
south. I've seen some ground mounts that look fine. Jack, are you interested?
Thank you.
Or Gene, are you interested in going to the MREA convention in June, or the meeting in June?
Yes.
Tell you what, we'll put you on hold, and Jim Packard will get some information from you. So there's one gone.
Perfect.
Let's go to Tim in Shawano. Hi, Tim.
Morning, Larry and Jack. I had a question in regards to, I see Dow released press release in regards to some solar shingles that are going to be available in limited quantities this summer, and they're supposed to be mass marketed the following summer. Just wondering if Jack has any additional information on that product, thoughts on that product. I've seen some guesstimates as far as a cost on that product, and it wasn't really clear, if that covers installation or if that's just a cost per product. We're going to get a little bit more information on that and what Jack's thoughts are on that.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Tim, I think, are those panels photoelectric panels?
I believe they are. And they're supposed to be designed so, like, Joe Carpenter and anybody who can roof a house can install them themselves is the whole thought behind it.
Right. Right. I don't have any experience with them. I have heard of that sort of thing coming about. my expertise is more in solar hot water, but solar photovoltaic is certainly also a good energy source. The thing to think about is the pitch of your roof. Ideally, you want the pitch of the roof to be about the latitude equal to the latitude of your location. So in the Milwaukee area, it's like 43 degrees. Now, that's optimal for both sun and winter. You'll see a lot of solar photovoltaic arrays which are up on a stand and are actually adjustable.
Okay.
And what they'll do is, well, some are really fancy, and they'll follow the sun during the day so that they're always sort of perpendicular to the sunshine. Which is great. You get like 30% extra radiation that way. But they also seasonally adjust. So when the sun is low in the wintertime, you tilt them up a little more so that they face that low sun. And in the summertime, you mechanically adjust them to lay back a little bit so that you're perpendicular to the high sun. When you're on a roof, you're not going to be able to do that. So you're giving up a little bit that way, but the aesthetics can be very nice. So it's really a personal choice.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Sure.
And by the way, are you planning to go to the MREA Energy Fair in June?
Actually, I would love to go.
Put you on hold, and we'll get you a ticket there. Hang on, Tim. Ed in Westfield, we're on to you now. Hi, Ed. Thank you for calling.
Hi Ed.
My question was regarding the payback on the hot water systems. Say
yes.
If you had two people and an electric water heater, about 40 gallons.
Right. I love it.
Now.
I love it. This is an ideal situation for solar hot water. Number one, you get big savings relative to the electric heating. And number two, it's a huge impact on the environment. Electric heating is the worst source of heating environmentally, and it is the most costly.
Right.
You will get between an 18 and 23% return on your investment, number one, which is extremely good. The reason I put a range on it, if you simply take historical electrical rate increases, you will get an 18% return on investment. If you assume that, by the way, that rate is about 6.8 or 7%. If you assume that in the future, fossil fuel based activities are going to go up more than that, and these things have a long life; they're like 40 years, so it might be safe to assume 10%. It probably is going to be much more than that, but conservatively, say 10%. Increase in electricity costs over the next 40 years each year, you will get a 23% return on investment, and you will save roughly 2 tons of greenhouse gases every year that this system is in place. So that is an ideal application.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay.
And by the way, are you interested in going to the fair?
Oh, sure.
Let's put you on hold, Ed, and we'll get your information. So there's yet another one.
That is a great fair. It is a great source of information for homeowners to see what's available.
Yeah, we should talk about that a little bit, because last year we broadcast from the Energy Fair and had a lot of fun there. And there is so much to see. For example, what will you be talking, or what do you typically talk about at the fair, Jack?
I have not participated yet.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I tell you what, everything from soup to nuts when it comes to alternative energy, you're going to find there at the fair, and it's really, really great. And you visited the fair in the past?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
it's great.
Jim in Viroqua, we're on to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering about the thermal storage in sand beds, and if that has proven to be of value and worth, and If so, is there a way to do like data monitoring on that to really realize what the performance is?
Okay, this would be called high mass storage, and you're generally talking about space heating here, as opposed to hot water heating. I know that there are people that have done this. Bob Ramlow, who is the author of a text that just about any solar practitioner in the business has read, he has that in his home. I don't know that much about it. I know that it's several tons of sand in an insulated box, basically under your floor. And in early fall, you start sending heat into that sand mass and start heating it. And then in the colder months, that your floor will give up that heat, and you will save some percentage of what otherwise would be a heating bill. So I know that it's beneficial. I don't know what the economics are.
No.
What about data monitoring, then, the outputs of the solar hot water?
Well, solar hot water, the data monitoring is pretty cool. There are devices that hook up to your controller for a system that will collect the temperature at the lower part of the tank, at the upper part of the tank, up at the panel. It'll record when your circulation pump turns on and when it turns off. And you can actually put a flow meter on the system and get a mass flow and a delta T and actually come, you know, figure out how many BTUs are you saving instantaneously or over a long period of time. These devices that I'm familiar with have a memory card you can just plug in, and it will store like 3 years worth of data. Or you can plug in an Ethernet cable and get to that device through your computer anywhere in the world, by the way, if you know the IP address, and look at how your system is running. You can actually change parameters. It's really very neat.
It sounds
it's
neat.
A great educational tool.
What product is that, and what's the name?
That is called a data logger. Calefi offers it.
Data logger. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And, Jim, are you interested in the energy fair in June?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, I tell you what, we'll put you on hold, and we'll get you a ticket for the energy fair. Our guest today, Jack Gutchenritter of Wisconsin Solar Installations, as we talk with him about solar energy installations. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Net as we talk solar energy installations with Jack Gutchenritter of Wisconsin Solar Installations. And actually, if you go to WisconsinSolarInstallations.com, that's their website address. So
you bet.
That's the place to go. And we've got Pete in La Crosse next with a question. Pete, hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi,
Jack. More of a statement, and that is that, question, sure. I've taken the MRA class, the two-day class on solar thermal, and read Bob Ramlow's book, and subsequently installed two systems, both ground mount systems, for space heating. And the amazing thing is, the stuff works exactly as the course and as the book said it would. It's
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really works well. And I've come away with it with the opinion that solar thermal is a DIY project if one is at least reasonably handy. So, Jack, if you could do us listeners a favor of sharing with us
sure.
the skills that a person should have if they're thinking this might be a project for them. Because I think a
sure.
lot of people could do this, but they're thinking it's too technically sophisticated. And solar thermal is not a complicated technology. I
sure.
think it's not.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that. Basically, there's a couple of steps. One would be designing the system and getting the right size. The right number of square feet of panel on your roof is important. The right amount of storage tank is important. And then the skills involved to install it. The key is being able to solder copper pipes. I can give a very brief design overview, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
for 2 to 4 people, you can figure roughly 20 gallons of hot water required per day. You can figure about 1 square foot of panel for each gallon of hot water that you want to produce per day. You can multiply that. So let's see. So if you have 2 people, that would be 40 gallons of water. That would also mean 40 square feet of panel, which would mean like 1 4-by-10 panel.
Okay.
The storage tank should be roughly 1.25 gallons per square foot of panel. So 1.25 times 40 is 50. So it'd be about a 50-gallon tank. It's okay if you can't find a 50-gallon tank, but you can find a 60-gallon tank. That's fine, or even smaller. You know, just be in the 1 to 1.5 gallons per square foot range. And then you need to you need a controller, and basically all a controller does, it's a differential temperature controller, and it will sense the, you put a sensor in the lower third of your storage tank and another sensor up at the output of the collector. And all it does is when the collector starts warming up and it gets warmer than the water that's in your storage tank, it turns on a pump. The pump runs all day long while the sun is shining. In the afternoon, when the sun goes down, the collector temperature will start decreasing to the point where it starts approaching the temperature of the water in your storage tank, and you shut the pump off so that you're not cooling the water. And it will stay that way all night until the cycle starts again in the morning. So it's relatively simple. You will generally run half to or 3/4 inch pipe. You're looking for a flow rate of 2 to 5 feet per second, the velocity through the pipe. So you size it that way. Generally, you want to put 1 gallon per minute of fluid through each panel. So if you got one panel, that'll be 1 gallon per minute, and size your piping appropriately. You can buy the equipment as a kit, basically. There are kits now that are OG300 certified, which means which qualifies you for a rebate of $2,000, which is huge. And I think we're going to talk about rebates later. There are a number of incentives. That's just one that helps you pay for the system. One thing I will mention is
that rebate.
What's that?
Pardon?
Is the rebate available even for a system a person installs himself?
Well, that's what I was just about to get to. The Focus on Energy will only give a rebate to systems installed by a certified full-service installer. So maybe you'll save some money by doing it yourself, but you also won't get the incentives that they would have given you.
Okay. Pete, are you planning to go to the fair?
Larry, I go every year and have a great time, and I'd like you to pass the ticket along to the next caller because we go anyways, and I want someone else to
nice
go
thing
as well.
All right. Thank you, Pete.
What a nice guy. Wow.
Appreciate it very much. So that means that maybe Mike in Cushing will have a chance. Mike, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have a south-facing roof. It's a rambler, goes straight across. I usually have pretty good sun during the summertime, but in the wintertime, as the sun drops, it starts to come through the tree branches. And how much effect does that have on that solar?
There is a device called a solar pathfinder, which you can take up on your roof and set up properly, and you can actually visualize exactly how much shading you're going to get in your solar window. Light after like 3 in the afternoon isn't going to do you very much good anyway.
Okay.
So if you're talking about that shadow not appearing until 3 in the afternoon, you have a good solar window.
Okay. All right, that's a good answer. I know we have a couple solar installers up here, Solar Legacy.
Uh-huh.
Legacy Solar installed quite a few units
uh-huh
here in Polk and Burnett County. So I'll check with them and see if he can do it for me.
Sure. That solar pathfinder I was mentioning is a tool that a site assessor will use. So if you wanted to find a Focus on Energy site assessor, they can come to your house and do a full report for you, a full makeup. They will bring a solar pathfinder. They'll photograph how much shading you're going to get and do a whole analysis for you. It's a nice service.
It's a great service. And that's so we're just go to Focus on Energy on your webs on the online and focusonenergy.com, I think.
Sure.
Yes.
And, Mike, do you want to go to the Energy Fair in June?
I'd love to.
All right. Hold on. Put you on hold, and there we go. And we have some more callers online as well. Radley in Hazelhurst up next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Hello there.
We're getting ready to build a house, and I'm just looking for the... We haven't really figured out our systems. We've talked about geothermal, and we've talked about thermal or solar, but we haven't really pinpointed anything, and I'm a novice when it comes to this stuff. Is there a place online to get started specifically for Wisconsin to sort of figure out what's going to work best and what the costs are involved and what sort of incentives there are? And
sure.
Well, that again, is the service provided by a site assessor. I think a very good place to start is to go to the Focus on Energy website, look for certified site assessors. There are a lot of them out there, and you can just find one nearby so that the travel expenses are insignificant, and ask them to do a write-up for you. And they will talk about, how many panels are likely to be right for you, how much storage you might want to have, the approximate cost. One thing I went through earlier on this call, the design criteria, and I know I went pretty fast, and if you weren't writing things down, you might not have remembered, but one thing you can keep in mind is for four people, you might be talking a two-panel house, which might be 64 or 80 square feet, and you can figure an average cost of about $150 per square foot of collector.
Okay.
Some houses are going to be less than that. Some are going to be more than that. Now, you mentioned that you were going to be building a house.
Yeah, it would be from scratch, brand new house.
Okay. One thing that I'm trying to get all builders to do is make the house solar ready. And all that means is please run a 3-inch PVC pipe that provides straight-line communication between the basement and the attic. Because then you can always come back later and run a hot and cold pipe up to a panel that, and it's 3 inches in diameter because they're very well insulated. And then you will not have pipes running down the outside of your house.
Okay.
So for the cost of some cheap PVC pipe, you are solar ready, and that's really a nice advantage.
Well, that sounds like a great idea. What is the cost of installation approximately? You mentioned someone mentioned there's a $2,000 rebate. So if you actually get a professional to install it, are they going to be much more than that? Or what you just ran through, I probably could handle.
Actually, Larry, can we go through the
let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got a really nice analysis here. So let's go ahead and go through that.
Great.
Okay. Let me I'm looking at my spreadsheet here. Okay, now I got to put my glasses on.
Glasses are on already.
So I'm not sure what I've sent you early, Larry, but things have changed a little bit. So what I'm looking at is the latest and greatest information. A two-panel system, let's assume we put up two 4x8 panels. That's a 64-square-foot system.
Okay.
Now let's assume the number I mentioned earlier, $150 per square foot. That would be $9,600 to build that system.
Okay.
A number you're going to need for subsequent calculations is you're going to need to know how many therms are going to be saved by putting these panels up. These panels, 64 square feet of the type of panel I chose will save 116 therms per year. For your listeners, a therm simply equals 100,000 BTUs.
Okay.
Okay. Now, a couple other things. If you... The cashback reward from Focus on Energy depends a little bit on whether you have already taken any steps to make your house energy efficient. And they have a little questionnaire, and if you qualify for having made reasonable progress to make your house more efficient, you will get a higher reward, and I'll tell you what that reward is in a minute. The other thing is, if you use... if your installer uses equipment which is OG300 certified, that basically makes it ENERGY STAR rated equipment. You will get a state energy, what is it, SEEARP award. I think that stands for State Energy Efficiency Appliance Reward Program, which is something brand new. I think it either started January 1st or February 1st, brand new, and it is big. It's $2,000. So you want to make sure your installer uses OG300 certified equipment. So now let's go through the calculation. So you have a system that costs you $9,600 gross. The Focus cashback rewards are... This is a little complicated, so I'll just say it, and we'll get past it quickly.
Sure.
It is the least of three ways of calculating. It is either $20 per therm saved, or 25% of the system cost, or a max reward of $2,750. So you figure it all three ways and take the least number. In this case, the least number is going to be to use the $20 per therm, so that your Focus cashback reward will be $2,328.
Okay.
Now, last year, We Energies would match 30% of that, which would be another $698. I went to their website. It's not clear to me whether they're doing it this year. I don't know why they wouldn't. So I'm going to leave that in the equation here. So... All right, so we've got two elements of savings. Then the SEEARP award, which is that State Energy Efficiency Award, that's a flat $2,000.
Okay.
So the sum of those three cashback rewards is $5,026. So your net system cost before taking any tax credit is $4,500. $73. And your federal tax credit will be 30% of that. So you get another $1,372 back that you save on your taxes. So the net cost to the client of a $9,600 system is $3,202. So the amount paid by the ultimate consumer is only 33% of the total actual cost to install the system.
And then your savings over time, of course, you're going to be saving a lot of money.
It's huge. The effect of annual rise in cost of energy causes the cumulative cash flow to swoop up in the later years. And it is huge. That's why you get such a good rate of return. And that is money that you are not paying out, but you're not earning it, so you're not paying taxes on it. So this is like tax-free income. It is a super deal. And where else can you get a 23% return on your money?
Oh.
Now that sounds like a lot, and let me back up a little bit. The caller, when I first gave you those 18 and 23%, we were talking about currently having an electric water heater. A lot of people have a natural gas water heater right now, or propane. If you're talking natural gas, it's the internal rate of return is quite a bit less, but it's still very attractive. It's like 10% rate of return if you assume current increase levels, and it's a 13% rate of return if you assume a 10% increase in future costs.
Wow.
But, you know, you try to buy a CD and get 2%. You're lucky. You know, and then you have to pay taxes on it.
Oh, man.
So this is a great investment.
Justin emailed us and wondered if you could you could talk about the job market, what it looks like in the renewable industry right now,
well,
even with the economy the way it is.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on analyzing the market, but I can tell you with these financials, there should be more and more and more people doing this. I mean, it is one other point. To answer your question, I think it's phenomenal. I think it's going to be very good in the future. The point I wanted to slip in there was somebody financing a system, if they just don't have the money to pay the upfront costs and they were to get a home equity loan, or they're going to build a new house and this goes into the mortgage calculation, the amount you pay to pay off the loan for just the solar portion of it, that loan payment is smaller than the amount of energy that you will save. It is a no-brainer. It is, you are throwing money away by not doing this.
And Shelley and Madison, on to you. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
What can we do
you? Hi, I'm calling to ask about if I have a garage right now, and I have a garage floor with hydronic heat. Right now it's going through PEX tubes, and it's warmed with a gas water heater. Mm-hmm. Is solar a good option for this completely, or as a supplement?
All right. What about it?
Yes. Solar will only heat when the sun's out. So you would not be able, if you really want your floor heated all the time, you would be talking about supplementing what you have there today.
All right. And someone wondered, instead of a pool, the excess heat, could you heat up a hot tub?
Yes, yes. You just need to do an engineering calculation there and be sure that you can dump enough heat to keep your solar fluid from getting too hot. Yes. There are other novel things people do, like run PEX tubing out in their garden and preheat the earth so that their vegetables grow faster.
Oh, man.
There's all kinds of things you can do.
Well, Jack, it's been a real pleasure talking with you today. And again, your website is WisconsinSolarInstallations.com, if I'm not mistaken.
That's it. Yes, thank you.
I appreciate it very much, and hopefully we'll be able to do this again.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I'd love to join you again. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Gutchenritter of Wisconsin Solar Installation, certified full-service installer of solar hot water systems. And he's on the Focus on Energy list. And for a list, again, if you go to Focus on Energy, you're going to find a list of installers and people that can come out and really do a job of telling you what you might need and potentially what the cost could be for your home. Great ideas, and sounds like there's a pretty good return on investment. So thanks again to Jack. Coming up, we're going to take a look at sailing and other recreational pursuits with our guest Nick Hayes of Milwaukee. He's got a new book out. It's called Saving Sailing. That's the primary title. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.